Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Wednesday, the 21st day of December 2011. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. Sitka police are investigating the death of a Sitka man who was found unconscious by the side of a road Sunday morning. Harry Chuck Johnson, age 37, was found unresponsive in the parking lot near the first gate of Harbor Mountain Road. Sitka Police Lieutenant Barry Allen says officers administered CPR until an ambulance arrived. Johnson was transported to Sitka Community Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Allen says there were no overt signs of foul play and that Johnson had a history of diabetes. His body was sent to the State Medical Examiner's Office in Anchorage, and Sitka Police continue to investigate. The growing demand for electricity is quickly becoming a region-wide problem. As Sitka works to raise the Blue Lake Dam to generate more power, the agency that sells electricity to Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg is going to look into the possibility of doing the same thing. The Southeast Alaska Power Agency is trying to make up for a shortage of cheap hydroelectricity from an increasing wintertime demand. SEPA officials say adding new hydro plants to the Southern Southeast power grid may not be the answer. The SEPA board met in Petersburg this month and voted to investigate the potential for raising the dam at Swan Lake near Ketchikan, and will hold off on applying for a new project near Wrangell. Joe Vicnicki reports.
Turning on the heater, plugging in the Christmas lights, few are the things that make demand for electricity peak in Southeast rainy, dark winter time. And this time of highest electrical use is also the time when the region's hydroelectric plants are operating on the remaining rainfall and snowmelt that filled up reservoirs earlier in the year.
The issue is all the water comes from July to October.
Right.
That's engineer Eric Wolf, who presented information on historical use of the water from Tyee Lake and Swan Lake hydro plants to the Power Agency's Board of Directors. Wolf also showed projections of energy demand 25 years from now. And he told the board that reservoirs from the two hydro plants could not store enough water to meet demand.
We can't shift all our winter load, right? All our winter water. We can't get that water from the fall. We can't shift it enough unless we build some more storage. That's kind of the whole point here, is the load happens in the winter and the water comes in the summer and the fall. So if you want the reservoir to empty later in the summer instead of earlier, you have to burn diesel in the winter.
Hydro managers try to optimize the use of the plants, not running the reservoirs low during the dry periods and not spilling too much water over the dams in the rainy season. Ketchikan is forced to run costly diesel generators from time to time despite the new transmission line that connects SEPA's two power plants. That line allows electricity from Tyee Lake not used by Wrangell and Petersburg to go south to Ketchikan and augment power from Swan Lake and several other local power sources there, but it's not always enough. As residents in all three communities add more electrical heaters, wintertime demand also increases. So add more hydro plants to the system, right? Not so fast, according to Wolf. He said the proposed projects under consideration around Southeast do not have reservoirs large enough to help out with the wintertime demand.
This is the whole point. If we add a hydro resource, it's going to have more power to the grid when we don't need it. We need it in the winter.
And SEPA CEO Dave Carlson says he was convinced by the data.
We have a wintertime load that doesn't match our existing hydro inflow profiles and storage profiles. And when you look at new projects, you know, they're only going to marginally help. That is the problem.
SEPA and many others have been looking at building new hydro projects. The agency submitted an application to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission this year to investigate a new hydro plant at Sunrise Lake on Woronofsky Island near Wrangell. That application was rejected this fall, but SEPA staff had planned to redo it and try again. Sunrise would add a relatively small amount of power generation to the system. Meanwhile, Ketchikan plans to start construction on a new hydro plant at Whitman Lake next year. There's also a state-run effort to plan for power projects in Southeast, and the results of that study are due out soon. Meanwhile, private companies and other utilities are also investigating numerous other potential hydro projects around Southeast. SEPA board member Joe Nelson wondered about adding new power plants.
Given what you said, two questions. Why are we
even messing around with Sunrise, number one?
Good question.
Number two, why does our shopping list that we were given at our strategic session for future projects include nothing but hydro?
Good question.
Agency staffers told the board that increasing reservoir size could be a better and potentially cheaper option. Here's CEO Dave Carlson.
Adding more storage at a reasonable price is, man, I think that's something we need to chase down.
Along those lines, SEPA's Wolf sought board permission to spend money to investigate raising the dam at Swan Lake. He said it would be the easier of the two projects to expand and wanted to hire consultants to investigate three areas.
What it's worth, can you technically do it construction-wise, and what happens when you crack the license open, how many studies you got to do,
right.
What's going to happen to get it licensed, if you, you know, what do, can we expect in expenditures and effort and schedule?
The SEPA board approved spending up to $240,000 on the three studies. They also voted 4-0 to suspend work on applying for that preliminary permit for Sunrise Lake near Wrangell. The board was scheduled to decide on a power purchase arrangement for Ketchikan's planned new plant at Whitman Lake, but will wait until a January meeting in Ketchikan. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
Also in Petersburg, they are going to give up their legal challenge over redistricting. While they were not happy about losing their longtime legislators next year, the mayor and the majority of city councilors Monday voted not to appeal the case to the Alaska Supreme Court. Matt Lichtenstein has more on the story.
I would like to speak against the motion. I really hate to spend another nickel on this.
Councilor Sue Flint made it plain she didn't want to continue Petersburg's legal challenge against the state redistricting board. She had several concerns.
In order for them to open this up again, they're going to have to make people who are very happy with their districts unhappy. And I just honestly can't see it happening. I know we will miss Bert Stedman, and but I feel strongly like we've gone far enough with this.
The city filed its lawsuit last summer, shortly after the Alaska Redistricting Board finalized new legislative boundaries that combined Petersburg in House and Senate districts with Juneau and Skagway. Petersburg currently shares a House district with Sitka and Wrangell. Its Senate district also includes Ketchikan. Petersburg initially challenged the redistricting plan on a number of issues. The suit argued that Petersburg would have less of a voice in the legislature and had more in common socially and economically with smaller southeast cities than with Juneau. Petersburg officials this fall decided to drop those arguments and seek a summary judgment solely on the issue of whether the new district was compact as required by the state's constitution. A Superior Court judge ruled against Petersburg and in favor of the redistricting board earlier this month. Councillor Mark Jensen was one of the plaintiffs named in the suit along with the city itself. He still felt strongly about the issue Monday night, but he doubted the city would have any success with an appeal to the state Supreme Court.
We couldn't spend enough money probably to get it changed this way. I wish we wouldn't have let the other part of the appeal go, but we did. So I just want to make a statement about the social economic comparedness to us in downtown Juneau. I don't think we're anywhere. It's like apples and oranges, to make it simple. So I don't know that we should spend more money on it, but it's unfortunate, I guess, all I can say.
Petersburg spent about $30,000 on its lawsuit, and according to city manager Steve Giesbrecht, the city's redistricting attorneys has said it would cost another $10,000 to mount an appeal. The council voted 6-1 against taking that action. Councillor John Jensen was opposed. The new districts are slated to go into effect after this legislative session. However, that could potentially be affected by an ongoing redistricting challenge that's out of Fairbanks, and it's scheduled for trial in January. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski says an impasse over a payroll tax cut extension could mean a showdown between the House and Senate or a meltdown. Murkowski told reporters in Anchorage she believes Congress will break the impasse, but she's not sure how. The House rejected a Senate plan extending a payroll tax cut and jobless benefits for 2 months. Majority House Republicans sought negotiations on a year-long plan, but the Senate has left Washington for the holidays. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid ruled out talks until the House passes the Senate plan. Murkowski called the Senate plan a reasonable compromise that provides time to find a more permanent solution. Without agreement by year's end, payroll taxes rise by nearly $20 a week for a worker earning a $50,000 salary. The U.S. House Ethics Committee has dismissed a complaint about the propriety of contributions made to Representative Don Young's legal defense fund. The nonpartisan Office of Congressional Ethics had found 12 corporations owned and operated by the same group of individuals each donated $5,000 to the Alaska Republicans Legal Defense Fund. The Ethics Committee agreed, but also found that each company was a distinct legal entity. The committee, in a statement Tuesday, concluded the contributions were allowed under regulations. However, the committee also cited concern the identical ownership of the companies challenged the contribution limit set out by regulations. It says it has revised regulations for legal expense funds to take effect next month. Young says he's glad the committee confirmed what he'd maintained, that he didn't violate House rules. And more than two dozen homeless programs in Alaska have won renewed federal funding, totaling $3.5 million to keep people off the streets in 2012. Officials with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development say the money will be paid as quickly as possible. HUD spokesman Lee Jones says the agency also is reviewing applications for new projects that could receive funding early next year. The largest of the 25 grants for Alaska programs totals more than $646,000 for Anchorage Community Mental Health Services. John Spurbeck, a mental health services manager, says those funds will go toward housing rental subsidies and services behavior health services. That's it for Raven News for this hour. The weatherman says we've got a high wind watch in effect, currently about 39 degrees, our temperature outside. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. It's 1 minute past the hour. Good morning.